What do we know about sequential responses to these different agents, particularly sorafenib and sunitinib, but the whole spectrum of the agents involved?
We know very little. There's a lot of anecdotal and not really controlled sort of observational studies that are just sort of coming out. It appears in what was a formal study that sunitinib has activity in patients whose disease has progressed after bevacizumab. You may see tumor shrinkage in close to the same number of patients, although not as robust and not for as long. But it's also, I think, coming out that if you take a little bit of break and start the same agent again or increase the dose of the same agent, you can see a little bit of a response again. So the resistance is plastic in some regard. It's physiologic resistance mechanism that if you give a patient a little bit of a break from that particular agent, you might be able to get a little benefit again, or just by increasing the dose, you might be able to get a little bit of benefit. And so I believe we'll see activity in sorafenib after sunitinib failures and sunitinib after sorafenib failures. The real question is that more than you would see if you just put them back on the same agent after giving them a little bit of a break? Where I think the most potential for seeing sequential activity is right now by looking at TOR inhibitors in tumors that have become refractory to sunitinib or sorafenib. And those studies are actually ongoing, big industry-sponsored trials that will look at TOR inhibition versus placebo or addition of a TOR inhibitor versus switching to a TOR inhibitor in patients who progress on a VEGF receptor TKI.
In terms of the TKIs, am I correct in saying there clearly have been sequential responses reported in series that are not inconsequential?
Well, I think this is anecdotal data. The Cleveland Clinic has looked at their patient population and seen that some people have responded to sunitinib who have progressed after sorafenib and vice versa. And the response rates or the tumor shrinkage rates may be in the 10 or 15% range. And whether they actually make a difference for the time to progression or the survival of those patients is unknown. You need a formal study in order to address that.
But I mean, if the mechanism of action is the same, essentially, at least the key mechanism of action, why would you see any responses?
Well, because the target is not necessarily the cancer cell. The target is a normal structure, being the endothelial cell. And the endothelial cell doesn't mutate or change in response to selective pressures the way a tumor cell might. What happens is the tumor cell, under the selective pressure of not having a blood supply, secretes other factors that cause the blood supply, the endothelial cell, to regrow, and blood supply to regrow in a non-VEGF-dependent fashion. So when you take away that selective pressure, the question is, what happens? And it's possible that in the setting of a tumor cell now making VEGF again, that that may become the dominant force in driving the endothelial cell proliferation again. And therefore, when you give a TKI that blocks VEGF, you may see a second effect. But you would predict that the time to developing that resistance mechanism would be a lot shorter in that setting because it was already preformatted in the tumor cell from the prior exposure to those agents.
Wow, interesting.